Go get it. 10-1.
The Raheem Morris Show.
Pay attention to this now. Make sure you snap those hands around.
On your home for the Buccaneers. 620 WDAE and US 103.5.
You want to come out and get a kick 180 so you can get out of here, okay?
Now here's the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Raheem Morris, and your host, TJ Reeves.
Kellen Winslow lines up as a tight end to the right side of the formation. Shotgun, twin receivers left with Williams wide and Strotter on the slot. Here's the snap. Here comes pressure. Freeman rolling right. Pulls it toward the end zone. Gone! Touchdown, Tampa Bay! It's caught by Cadillac Williams in the Bucs lead with 10 seconds left. There are no flags on the field. And Freeman, remarkably outrunning pressure, finding a receiver, threading a needle, and we lead 18-17.
What an amazing turn of events and an amazing finish on Sunday at Raymond James Stadium as the Buccaneers improved to 4-2. It took a while to win that game, but that's why you play the full 60 minutes as the Bucs drive down the field and you hear there the call of Gene Deckerhoff, a touchdown with 10 seconds to go. Ends up winning this football game 18-17. So hello, welcome, and we say congratulations and good evening to head coach Raheem Morris. Congrats.
First, thank you, man, and it's good to be 4-2. It sounds great when you say it.
How about getting to hear that call one more time? I know you've relived it last night, game film, whatnot. It's still enjoyable, I think, even on Monday afternoon, to watch, to listen to that play.
No, it's great. Just, you know, the names and the guys involved in that play and how hard they work. And, you know, I know how hard these guys go out there and they participate and they work in the red zone stuff. And to be able to get the ball down in and score in position in a two-minute drive with your young quarterback, your young football team. Your execution of your offense, and you going out there and you watch it, just beautiful. And I'm very proud of those guys and what they're able to do.
This team, for the better, has shown resiliency and the ability to fight back over and over again. You've talked to us numerous times on these shows last year and this year that is the sign of growing up. That is the sign of maturity. Things may not be going your way, but hang in there, keep battling, hope for that one chance to win the game, and then take advantage if it's there. And this team is living that now with three of your four wins coming essentially on the final drive, on the final score.
You know, we don't like to use the term hanging there, but we like to use the term, we like to play this game for 60 minutes. You know, we signed up for 60, and we want to go all 60. And if we have extra time, we want to take some extra time. But, you know, these guys are resilient, they're humble, they're tough. And there's no reason they can't go out there and compete like the very best every week.
All right, so we've got much to talk about, obviously, about the win over the Rams. We are going to be taking your phone calls. We will talk Arizona Cardinals later on in the program. That's the next opponent as the Buccaneers begin a stretch of games where you will play four times on the road in the next five. That one coming up in Phoenix, actually in Glendale, coming up Sunday at 4 Eastern time. And we will talk more about that a little bit later on in the program. Stand by. We'll get some calls in a little bit. Let's talk about the beginning of this football game, and you got off to a start where you get the opening kickoff, you're able to move it with a couple of first downs, but the drive kind of stalls out in their territory at the St. Louis 42-yard line. Let's talk about the opening drive, though, because you did make some things happen and pick up a couple of first downs.
Yeah, we were able to pick up a couple of first downs. We got some plays negated there with some penalties and some offsetting calls, but, you know, we really came out this game. We came out, I wouldn't say sloppy, but I will say we came out not in our normal form, you know, how we've been playing, you know, smart, fast, you know, consistent. And now smart play, you know, we got too many penalties, and our consistency to be able to move the drives down and score points, you know, wasn't there for us early. But we hung in there and kept going. And again, I like to use that word, hanging there, but we kept fighting.
You had a fourth and what turned out to be inches at midfield. You originally, I think, were contemplating kicking there and punting, but then you wanted them to measure to see just how close it was. Mike Carey and the officiating crew measured, and they did confirm, okay, it's about 6 inches, and you elect to go with the quarterback sneak there at midfield.
You know, I was buying myself time, you know, building my inner strength right there. So I called for a measurement, gave myself some more time to think about it, see exactly how close it was, and, you know, having a trust in these guys and having a trust in Josh Freeman. Those guys go out there and execute a play to get an inch. I had to let them do it, and they were able to go out there and execute at the 50 and continue to give us better field position in order to back those guys up.
All right, so you did back them up, and right away you get a splash play on defense. Styles G. White with a sack. There's a loose ball. Kyle Moore falls on it on the 6-yard line. Then there was a lengthy review. There was a challenge by Steve Spagnuolo, the St. Louis coach, and there was a lengthy review. They eventually confirm, okay, it's your ball at first and goal at the six-yard line. But, that, I mean, let's talk about that play specifically. It's a great job to get after Sam Bradford, get him on the ground, and get the loose ball.
You know, you got to start with the, really that drive. It was a nice three and out, you know, first off, you know, and it ended up in a turnover on third down. But, you know, first down, they come out and they throw a bare fade over there to Aqib Talib. He defends it well. You know, the second down, they come out, they jump off sides, second and 15. They're a young football team just like us. They make mistakes. Then second and 15, they opt to run their premier running back over to the slot, and Rondé Barber and the plethora guys hit him in the backfield and give us a really a third and 15 situation. And now we're able to go out there and rush the quarterback and pin our ears back and go get him. And Styles White comes off the edge along with, you know, Tim Crowder coming off the other edge and the up front push by Cal Moore and Gerald McCoy. Really caused a great play and was a sack. And to watch those guys turn and run and hunt up the ball, it's kind of where we want to go on defense and how we want to play all the time and be consistent that way. And it was nice to see and get an early start off like that on defense.
Unfortunately, you're not able to capitalize. You get a pass interference on Kellen Winslow, offensive pass interference that backs you up. Then right after that, you get a holding call and a sack, and suddenly one of the weirdest things that you would see in a game where it says on the scoreboard, second and goal from the 20, or in this case, from the 35-yard line. I don't know what you have in the playbook for second and goal at the 35, but it was strange to see.
You know, it certainly was. You know, you get the ball on the six-yard line. You throw a pass to your premier, you know, tight end down there, Kellen Winslow. He makes a nice move and gets the judgment call, and it goes against us. So you got to back up a little bit, and then you get a holding call right after that, and then you get the second and 35, which you're referring to, and it gets worse after that. You get sacked, and now you're facing a third down and 34, and you got to go out there and make a play just to get back in field goal range. And Josh Freeman's able to do that to get us back in the field goal range. And it turns out at the end of the game, we certainly needed every point we can get.
And this is true. That's a good point. Now, that play, it's a significant play because, as you mentioned, you're going to have a 50-something yard field goal if you don't get some yardage. And Josh Freeman finds Mike Williams kind of on a little bit of an alley-oop down the left sideline. And Mike Williams has to make a great play after the ball comes loose to retrieve the thing and keep possession for the field goal.
He makes a great catch, first of all. And then he fumbles the ball, fighting for extra yards, trying to get it a score because, you know, it is, you know, whatever in goal. And he tries to score and gets the ball ripped out of there, and he's being held on and still being tackled, and he crawls and claws and does everything he can to get back to that football. And it was a great thing he did, you know, now that you've seen the result of that game.
Yeah, so the field goal goes through. It's 3-0 at that point. You kick the ball back to St. Louis, and then they're able to start establishing the run game in particular with Steven Jackson, and eventually leads to a field goal for them. What did they do there on that drive? As you know, it was a lot of Steven Jackson on that opening drive, as we suspected.
Yeah, really, they came out and they found out we were going to play man, and, you know, early in that game, that was our plan going into it. They wanted to match up on some of these wideouts and put guys in the box in order to create some matchups for us so we can have eight-man fronts and play man-to-man on their receivers and make those guys throw the football and make them beat us throwing the football. They did a nice job of coming out with some man beaters and doing some different things as far as reverses to, you know, those guys and setting some couple of plays up, some toss bunch crunches to get you not to look and to attack your perimeter. They did a nice job, and it was a credit to their coaching staff, and they were able to move the ball on that drive.
What is a toss bunch crunch? When fans hear that, I know that's, you know, NFL lingo. Explain a little more in detail what that means and what they were doing.
They get you in a bunch formation in a man coverage, and they get you guys all stacked up on the line of scrimmage, and they have a chance to attack your perimeter so they can get you out leverage. So they're able to toss the ball to the outside, you know, down, around, pull some linemen out there and get some people in front in order to get some yardage. And it's a very good man beater when you're talking about the toss play and you're talking about what you're trying to do and what you're trying to go against. So they were able to set us up in some of those plays and really move the ball on us to go down there and set up their first field goal.
Yeah, they get the field goal, and then you're unfortunately not able to move the ball. You give it back to them. You punt it back to them after a penalty. They start at their own 20, but again, they get out of their own end. They ran a little bit of a reverse to Amendola, the wide receiver, kind of what you were talking about with getting some blockers out in front of him. Gets them out of their own end, and eventually they get in the end zone for a 10-3 lead. They did a good job, though, of mixing some things up with some bootlegs and more.
You know, great job. You know, their bootlegs weren't successful, but they were able to get to the perimeter and get him outside of the pocket to get away from our rush a little bit. And they're also able to get to the perimeter with their run game versus man-to-man coverage with the reverse and the toss, which you mentioned before. And then Steven Jackson was able to get some press plays, which is an outside zone on some of our man type of defenses when they running away from our man defenders, and it really creating some leverage issues for us on defense. And they did a nice job early on in the game doing that and establishing that.
All right, so the game becomes 10-3, and again, they get in the end zone on the Bradford touchdown. They again get a stop that is 8 negated by the fact that you get a holding penalty early on in the drive. Again, you've had the opportunity last night and today to look at the tapes. You really hurt yourself several times in this game on first down in particular with a mistake that would call back a big play or put you in first and 15, first and 20, something like that.
You know, we really hurt ourselves yesterday with shooting ourselves in the foot. You know, we hadn't been doing that in the past, and we're talking about the past. We're talking about our first, you know, couple of games. You know, we've been really a disciplined team as far as, you know, penalties and holding calls and how many you get. And we had our share, but we hadn't had the ones that just kill you over and repeatedly. And it happened the first couple of drives. We stalled drives because of penalties, and we really were shooting ourselves in the foot, and we had to go back and refocus and get back to doing what we do. And then, you know, some of them are judgment calls, but, you know, we don't complain about officiating. We go out and do our job.
All right, so you have to punt the ball, and again, the Rams go on the move with Steven Jackson getting 7 yards and then getting 18 yards, and eventually they move into scoring range. Yet again, you stop them, though, on a third down play. They're trying a field goal, and unfortunately, you jump off sides on the field goal that keeps the drive alive. They take points off the board and eventually get a touchdown there in a 17-3 lead. I know that was a frustrating sequence there when it looked like you had held them to three.
Yeah, it really hurts when you stop a team and you're able to get off the field and hold them to three in that situation, because I believe the punt, you know, they got the field position they got. You know, if you hold them to a field goal there, you still feel pretty good about it because they had great field position. And then we jump off sides, and it was, you know, one of our favorite players of all time in Rondae Barber, and he was trying to make a play, but you can't hurt your football team that way, and he knows it, and, you know, he felt terrible about it, and they were able to score a touchdown. But again, you know, that doesn't nullify what we were trying to do. We know it's a 60-minute game. It's easy at that point to go in a tank, but when you have a resilient young team that's all humble on the sideline and able to go to the sideline and own up to their mistakes and be able to talk to each other and create that sort of 61 man against the world feeling, it was great and it was awesome.
All right, so it's 17-3, and this is kind of one of these situations, and there's going to be two or three of these that we're going to talk about now and after the break, where this was a key moment in the game. You're down 17-3 late in the first half, but you go down and get points on the next drive. You're able to get a field goal late in the first half to make the game 17-6. First of all, I asked you this a couple of times in previous shows. Did you say anything in particular to your team at 17-3, sending them back out there for the final 2:59 of the first half, or was it business as usual, go try to get points?
No, it's business as usual. You know, simply I go to my quarterback, let him know what I need, and I tell him at the time, I tell him, hey, Josh, I need 7 here, and he looks at me, says, all right, dude, and he goes out there, and he's able to manufacture points and what he's supposed to do, and he's a, you know, he's a great leader. You know, he's always calm, he's always cool, he's under pressure, you know, he's young. It's almost funny sometimes to go watch this young man lead our team, because you know how young he is, but he's smart, he's sharp, he's that guy that you want in that situation, and he went out there and he's able to manufacture 3 points for us and drive us down there in a 2-minute type of format and a drill and get us in position to kick, be able to kick for field goal.
Yeah, there were a couple of big plays in that sequence. One to Mike Williams for a first down, and then Sammy Strauter, a guy that's kind of flying under the radar right now, but he made a couple of critical catches, including one, a catch and run for 18 yards that helped set up the field goal real quick.
You know, it was big in those situations. You know, Cadillac had, you know, had a couple catches for us in that drive, and, you know, what I noticed yesterday was the amount of catches that he was able to manufacture throughout the day. I believe he had 8 receptions for a running back. I don't know where that falls, but I think that's pretty high. And then Sammy Strauter was able to turn the party there. And like you said, Mike Williams, and we were able to get all those guys involved. And it's always good. And then you get Spurlock set up in a situation there, and we're able to kick a long field goal and make it.
All right, so halftime comes, 17-6. The Rams would lead. When we get back here on the Coach Raheem Morris Show, we're going to talk about an exciting second-half finish, a thrilling finish, and a fourth win of the year. We'll take your phone calls, and we will be talking Arizona Cardinals later on in the program as well. That's the next opponent coming up in the Valley of the Sun on Sunday. We will be back. Stay with us on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Raheem Morris Show continues on your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE and US 103.5. Once again, here are Coach Morris and DJ Reeves.
Back in on this Monday. Great to have you with us. As again, we're talking about a thrilling 18-17 win over the St. Louis Rams. We will be talking Arizona Cardinals later on in the program. Bucks Cardinals in Glendale. I keep wanting to say Phoenix, but Glendale's actually its own city about 30 minutes away. That's where the matchup will be Sunday, 4 o'clock. We'll take your phone calls as well. 990 in Hillsboro, 4620. In Pinellas, that number is 461-4620, and toll-free wherever you can hear the program, even if you're listening in on the Internet and more, 1-800-596-BUCKS, 1-800-596-2827 to join us. So we left off with a 17-6 game at halftime. I always love, as much as you will allow us, for you to take us into that locker room to what you're saying to your team, what you're instilling in them. You're down 17-6. What were you thinking? What were you conveying to your team at halftime?
Well, when you go into the locker room, you know, it's easy, you know, to display anger or just to display disappointment in what your team's been able to do thus far, you know, being down and having the amount of penalties that we had. And that's the easy way out. That's the way most people would tend to take. But, you know, for me at that point, it was time to sit back and relax, take a deep breath and figure out what you really want to say to your team. And as a leader of men, they want to be led. So I would say be able to go in front of them and tell them the truth. And if they felt no hesitation in my belief, and there would be no hesitation in theirs. So I was able to get my message across to those guys and let those guys know what I wanted from them in the second half. We knew we wanted to run the ball, and we wanted to establish it. We were able to gain some success early with some of the things that LeGarrette Blount was able to do with breaking tackles. And on defense, we knew if we were able to go out there and execute that, we can absolutely hold this team scoreless in the second half and just execute our game plan. And we talked about all those things.
Sure.
We went over those things. We monitored it. And that's what we wanted to go out and do.
A lot of people wonder this part. Was it loud? Were you angry? Were you matter-of-fact calm? What was your demeanor when you were conveying that?
I got to guess I was matter-of-fact calm. You know, anger is not always the best solution when you're dealing with a bunch of players that are highly motivated and highly into the game. And at that time, it's got to be somebody with some calm resolve. At that point, it's got to be somebody that leads men. It's got to be somebody that's willing to – you got to grab people, make them follow you, you know, and a lot of times people don't want to go there. You know, everybody wants anger. Everybody wants this emotional cry that you may see on television. But it's not about emotions in our game. You don't ride the emotional roller coaster. You go with logic, and you go with what we talk about: fast, hard, smart, and consistent.
Yep, stick with the plan. I like it. All right, so the Rams do get the ball, and you stop them right away without a first down on a three and out. Mission accomplished. Now they pin you in with a punt, and you have to start at your own 5-yard line going to work there. You get another penalty, as we mentioned early in the down and distance. You overcome that, though. You move out of your own end, and you end up with 3 points. You showed some resolve there to get out of your own end and go get points.
You know, one of the things we talked about right there, we talked about the defense, you know, setting the tone in the second half. We got to come out and get a three and out, you know, or turnover to set our offense up for a score. You know, we come out, things don't go right away. They get a pretty good return to get the ball out, you know, near the 40 or whatever the case may be. We go out and get a three and out, and they set up a great punt. You know, but our offense, so resolve, coming out of from the backed up situation, moving the ball down the field, and being able to set us up for a field goal. And that's the resolve, the resiliency of this football team. And you know, I'm buying in, and they're making me a believer.
LeGarrette Blount, 8 yards right off the bat. Later on in the drive, 9 yards, and again for 12 yards. And as you mentioned, a lot of times it was after initial contact, running through people, dragging people. I mean, showing some real brute strength to get extra yardage.
You know, the young man played, you know, like the team is built. You know, he jumped over people, he ran through people, he ran around people. If he didn't have anything, he punished people. And that was a part of his game, and that's where we had to be at that point, and that's what we needed from him. And he also set up a couple things in the passing game as well.
All right, so you get into scoring position after a nice completion to Mike Williams. You get another penalty. You're right around the fringe of the 40-yard line. You actually get a short completion to Mike Williams that puts you at the 35, and you send the field goal unit out there with no hesitation to try a 53-yard field goal with Connor Barth. Again, one of those moments, as we were talking about earlier in the show, where not everybody may remember this, but it's a big moment because you're able to get 3 points on the board there.
You know, it was a chance to get the points. You know, at that point, you know, coming out of halftime, getting the three and out, we start to establish a little confidence on defense. I know we feel like we can stop and get the ball back right away for our offense if something would have went wrong, what's the word to go wrong. But, again, I got a lot of confidence in this young man, Connor Barth, on his ability and what he's able to do and what he's showing me at practice and what he's been showing me this season in the games. And, you know, I wasn't going to let him missing 2 field goals the week before deter my decision to let him go out there and try to kick some field goals for us and win the football game. That's what he did.
Yeah, big 53-yarder there. Not an easy one whatsoever. Makes the game 17-9. And then, again, your team gives up one first down, but you're able to get off the field and get, you know, fairly decent field position right after that. So, again, a second stop. That's mission accomplished. You got the ball back late third quarter, down 17-9.
You know, we went out in the second half and really played well on defense. You know, no more points. We limit the amount of time they had the ball. and we're able to get the ball back for our offense. You know, one of our big emphasis, which I mentioned a couple weeks ago, is when our offense scores a point, you know, our urgency has to increase and go out there and get the ball back so that, because they're hot and they're moving the football and they got something going and they're starting to form some type of tempo. And that's what we want to do for our offense. And it's a team game, so we got to set that up as well.
All right, again, LeGarrette Blount had a big run on that drive. You're also able to convert a couple of times on a third down, again to Sammy Strotter on a third and eight, where he gets 9 yards, a lot of that on his own after the catch, splitting through two defenders. Again, brag on the young man, a second-year player, a late draft pick last year, because he came up key two or three times.
You know, Sammy defines, you know, some of the toughness on our football team. You watch him go out there, and you know whatever his size and his frame is, he sets the tone right up the back by, you know, blocking some of these wideout. Blocking some of these defensive backs and linebackers and whoever's required. And when he gets the ball, he runs tough and physical and hard. And he just goes out there and plays. He plays the game like you want to see him play. And he kind of defines some of the toughness for our team. And he's one of the guys, one of the major roles of guys on our offense, and can't say enough about them.
Again, it leads to a field goal, this time to make the game 17-12, and once again, your defense does the job. You're able to get off the field after they make a couple of first downs. You're able to stop them. You get the ball back. Unfortunately, you can't get it rolling yourself. You punt the ball away midway through the fourth quarter. They're trying to go on a drive to put the game away. It comes down to a key third down situation. They got a false start that turned a third and six into a third 11. You stop them on the third and 11. They punt the ball to you, and now here we go with the final 5 minutes, down by one score. You've been in this position several times now, end of last season and the beginning of this year, with a chance to win the game with one score with 5 minutes to go. So take me to that sideline, what you're saying to your quarterback, to your offense, as they go out there down 17-12.
You know, I got to go back to that third and 11. You know, we missed a tackle in the hole on Steven Jackson. He's rumbling through what a 7-yard game. He's only got four more yards to go, and Tim Crowder makes an amazing effort play by jumping on the back of his ankles and getting him on the ground before he's able to pick up the first down to force a punt, which was huge. You know, which we come back and look at it be huge, because we got the ball back with 4 minutes left. And now, as Josh could win us the football game, this is why you were brought here. This is what you're made for. And, again, the kid with the calm, poise, the resiliency, the, you know, we talked about it, man. He's got that dagger, and we're loving it.
We keep seeing it over and over again. A couple of key plays early on. You had a third and three in your own territory. You find Cadillac Williams over the middle, and he's able to make a couple of guys miss and lower the head and get 10 yards and pick up the first down. Again, you had him in there not only for blocking purposes, but to be able to do what he did a couple of times, including on the game winner, go get open and go make the catch.
You know, we got a backfield. You know, and you got to go out there and you got to execute when you got to execute. And in those situations, Cadillac was phenomenal. And LeGarrette Blount had been running great up until that point. At this point, you're in a 2-minute offense. You're out there talking about protection. You talk about getting out and catching the ball and getting yards after the catch. And Cadillac's one of those guys that, you know, he's going to make things happen. He's going to make plays happen. You know, today I gave both of those guys offensive game balls. You know, Cadillac for catching the game winner and the amount of catches he got there, and his protection and the focus, and then also LeGarrette Blount for what he's able to do running the ball and establishing a physical presence for us. And, you know, that's the stuff that you want in that room. That's the stuff that you want in your team. It's all of us, man. It's about us.
Okay, so at the 2-minute warning, you get a completion. You're down, you know, you get 3 yards. You're down at their 34-yard line. And unfortunately, you'd had an injury to Jeremy Trueblood. James Lee, one of your offensive linemen, comes in and gets a 15-yard penalty coming in on the pile after the play. I know that you're chuckling about it right now, but that's the last thing you want to see in one of those situations, obviously.
Yeah, you can't have a penalty like that. You know, and I applaud the young man's effort. I applaud his hustle. I applaud his tenacity, but you got to be smart, you know, and that's a foolish penalty that we can't have, we can't tolerate. And I went to James and talked to him about that at the time, and we were lucky enough and fortunate enough to overcome.
Is that one of those situations where it's a teachable moment for your team on a Monday? Did you show that or emphasize it, or do you think at this point right now it kind of goes without saying, you can't do that?
No, we all know, you know, but it's definitely one of those teachable moments. It's definitely one of those things you want to show to your young football team, because we got a lot of young guys out there. We had 6 new starters, and you got guys out there that have never been in that fire. And you got some, you know, some guys going to have a little bit of deer in the headlight, and some guys got to learn in the fire, and they're learning out there in the fire right now.
All right, but then it only builds the drama. It leads to what happened next, where you're able to get some of the yardage back with a couple of completions to Cadillac and to Sammy Strotter again, and now a fourth down and three play. You took a timeout to talk this play over with on fourth and three. Huge play in the game. Tell me more about it.
You know, a critical point in the game. You don't want to rush anything at that point. You use one of your timeouts. You go to the sideline. I mean, at that point, you're able to collect a bunch of information from your players. You're able to collect a bunch of information from your quarterback, and you're able to deliver him, you know, exactly what needs to be done. Although he may already know, you just want to reemphasize what's going on, what the situation is, and how critical this play is.
I remember talking to Josh Freeman. I said, was he the main option? He said he is one of the options, and it's one of those things where you have to look quickly on fourth down, especially if they're blitzing you. He sees Kellen there, and, again, it kind of maybe gets lost in the craziness of the very end of the game. That's an enormous play to keep the drive alive, obviously.
Huge play. You know, a short throw to a sure-handed guy. And that's made some big plays for us in the past.
All right, and then the excitement on a third down, you know, and again, you got to keep all this in mind. It was still third and 10. You're able to find Mike Williams on the sideline with a great catch and run. He gets it down to the 1 yard line, almost got in the end zone. I know you, again, have had a chance to analyze it on the tape, where he cuts back to the inside and makes three Ram guys miss him and gets all the way down to the one.
Phenomenal play. You know, he catches the ball and on that dig, and he gets up the field and he gets vertical. You know, he gets vertical very quickly. We've seen it in the Carolina game, and it's a similar deal. And he was trying to score a touchdown. There was no doubt about it. He lowered his shoulder pads. He lowered his pad level. He ran hard. He ran tough. And I was right in the spot down there with the official to call timeout.
You ran hard down to that line.
Did you see me stick my feet in the ground?
Yes.
That was about pretty good now.
30, 35-yard sprint to go get that timeout. As you said to us after the game yesterday, I had to use my wheels. I was going to go get my timeout, right?
I was showing off a little bit. You know, I'd get my little 40 time going there.
Were you aware that Spagnuolo was on the other sideline also trying to call timeout? You just beat him to it.
I had no idea what Spag was trying to do.
Yes, he was racing down, and he was calling timeout with the clock running with 20 seconds to go. That was on the TV replay. You just beat him.
Well, that makes me feel better.
You outran him. You outran him in that instance to get to the referee first. All right, so now you're out of timeouts with 20 seconds to go. Take us into the conversation of what you're talking about with your quarterback and with your team here in the clutch, because you cannot stop the clock. You're in the middle of the field. You need a touchdown.
You know where the ball needs to go. And you know, it's either an incompletion or it's got to go to one of our guys for a touchdown. And he's a clutch closer. This number five we're talking about, and we know he can finish. And that's what we let him go.
You told us that in the Cincinnati situation that he looked at the sideline with the thumb up, like, I got this. Was it kind of a similar thing?
No,
right,
a little different here, man. He had the timeout. He's over there with us, and you know, he's locked in. We're not bothering him in his headset, and so. And when he goes out there and calls his play, he calls it in his huddle and he gets his guys together. And, you know, he has a great ability to keep him plays alive with his legs. And that's what he did to win this football
game. That's the real key on this one, because it's not there initially and he's rolling out to the right. And one thing that's very subtle, again, is he keeps his eyes up, not just on the defenders, but his eyes up looking in the end zone, and Cadillac comes free.
Yeah, it was one of those things where he really is 20 seconds left and, you know, he starts 17 seconds left and he starts to drift to his right. And then in your head, you're going, you can't do this now. You throw the ball away, get another chance. And then the next thing you know is you know, everybody going nuts. And, you know, at that point, it's a touchdown. You know, but before that snap, you know, we had already, you know, talked to our staff about getting our team back on the field because we're going for two. You know, that thing was already said before it was going on. I wanted to make sure my staff knew, let's not go celebrate with them. Let's get them back
to
the field of play so we can make an attempt for two, because we got to get this game to a three-point game. So the best they can do, if they are able to get into a Hail Mary situation, is kick a three-point game, try to extend overtime.
Sure. We said this after the game yesterday. Repeat it for the audience hearing us now on the radio show. You got to feel great for Cadillac Williams, because he makes a great individual play there to stay alive. He's not the primary option on that play. He kind of floats from the middle of the field and just keeps running and keeps himself alive. That's a tremendous play with the game on the line.
Well, you know, it's the belief that the two players have in each other. You know, it's about Cadillac believing in Freeman that he's going to stay alive and keep him a part of his option. And it's also about, you know, Freeman being able to do it, knowing that Cadillac's going to work with him to the sideline and enable him to make a great throw like that. And, you know, it's one of those throws that if it's a bad throw, we'll question it. It'd be Brett Favre-ish, you know, throwing back across his body into the middle of the field and all those things. But, you know, players make plays in big moments, and he's a clutch closer, and you got to allow him to go out there and make his plays.
What was your first reaction when he caught that ball? Were you still in your coaching mode? We got to go for two, or did you go out of your mind for like 2 seconds?
No, I was in full blown coaching mode at that point. You know, because I was already looking at the clock, knowing we needed 2 points to make this thing a 3-point game. And my whole thing was to make sure I got everybody back on the field that needed to be out there. You know,
I think you ran over to Ted Larson in particular and said, "Get back out there," or something to that effect.
Young Larson was celebrating with Cadillac on the sideline, and you know, my other coaches were getting everybody on the field, and we don't have a left guard. And Larson's walking you know, down by the cheerleaders.
Uh-huh.
I had to sprint that way to get him again. I had to use my wheels again and get him back on the field because we're going for two. And in order to set us up for a chance to be up by three now, we didn't get the two-point conversion, but, you know.
It's a play you had to make there because there's no difference in being down by one or being down by two. A field goal can beat you either way, so you had to make that play. You couldn't get it in. And then in the end, you're able to stop them on kind of the crazy Cal Stanford play at the end, and then it's time to exhale and celebrate a fourth victory.
You know, that's the second time we're able to see those Cal Stanford plays this year, and I'm liking those plays. Let's keep seeing those plays. I mean, that's good signs for the Buccaneers. Either that or kneel downs.
You like both of those. You like both of those. All right, it is a win. It is a fourth win of the year, and again, we're going to talk more about it with you folks. Jump on the phones, 990-4620 in Hillsboro. If you're in Pinellas, 461-4620. Toll free, 1-800-596-BUCKS, 1-800-596-2827. Your phone calls coming up with the head coach. We'll be right back on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
The Raheem Morris Show rolls on. This is 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of Buccaneers football.
We come back in on this Monday night. We will be talking Arizona Cardinals before we're done at the final segment of the show. We'll take your phone calls in just a second. Again, I like to do this for people that are just getting in the car, gotten off of work as we've crossed the bottom of the hour. Say something once again about the thrilling finish and your team being 4-2, Coach.
You know, it was a really good, you know, finish for us and how it finished and how we played the game out and how we were able to come back and fight back and do all the things that we need to do. And then yesterday I told everybody that, you know, you guys are the best. You know, you're the best in the NFC. I mean, you have the least amount of loss in the NFC right now. And I mean it, you know, and it starts with a belief for me anyway. Somebody's got to go out and be the best. Why not us? You know, I want our fans to believe that way. I want our team to believe that way. And I'm not really interested in whether, you know, other people or outside entities believe it or not. You know, I think it starts with us believing in ourselves first. No different than what we've done since we've been young. No different than what we've all done when our parents first told us we can be whatever we want to be.
And how much, I mean, because it's obvious, with three fourth-quarter comeback wins, this team is showing belief. They are showing belief that even if there is adversity or you're behind, that they believe they can win.
And that's part of it. You know, I want to show that I believe in those guys. You know, these you know, let everybody else deal with pressure. You know, Derek Brooks called me today and said, man, I like that. You know, you make everybody else deal with pressure, and you keep it light and right around there. And that's what I want to do.
Well said on that. All right, to the phones. Enough of me for now. Here's David in Tampa. He will start us off first with head coach Raheem Morris. Hello, David.
Hello, and I'd like to let you all know that I'm a 35-year season ticket holder, so I've been there for everything.
Awesome, David.
And I want you to know that you're going to get the support from the fans, both in the radio audience as well as in the stadium, if you just give us a little bit. And the Bucks have done that. They did it yesterday in the second half. They gave us some, and I thought you could hear the support from the fans. And I wanted to let you know that the best thing was to quiet down those Rams fans with 10 seconds left. You don't know how that made me feel, because the guy next to me was the Rams fan, and he was the quietest I've ever heard an opposing fan before. He had nothing to say. So thank you very much for that. And I want to let the coach know, or ask him, if he can feel that support from the fans and if he can give that feeling to the players and let them know that that's what they're getting from the fans.
All right, David.
David, it's funny you mentioned that, David. I talked to my team today, and I said, man, we were out there, and at the end of that game, you can feel it in the second half on defense. When we were out there at the timeouts, man, it felt like the old times with you guys cheering, the music playing, our guys bopping, and you felt the energy coming from our stands. You felt the energy coming from our people. You know, and I don't even know how many people were there, but I mentioned this early in the season, but that's what Tampa's about. You know, is it about a belief for us going out there being the best? It's about a belief in having the best fans. It's about a belief in guys like you, David. I spent a 35-year, you know, season ticket holder and coming out and supporting us. And we appreciate the people that are able to make it. And that's where my team is. We understand. We're going to try to do our best in order to get everybody back out there again, and we love it.
All right, we go back to the phones. Ben is in Brandon, and he joins us here on a Monday night. Hello, Ben.
Hey, good evening, guys.
Good evening.
Hey, Ben.
Hey, Coach, I would love – I went to the ball game last week, but – I would love to make it out a little bit more, man, but, you know, the economy's hurting me pretty bad. So
I bet, Ben. I'm sorry to hear that.
That's okay, but I'm finding my ways to catch you on the two. I did see the game yesterday. I didn't go, but I did watch it. And I was very impressed by LeGarrette Blount. I know that, you know, we're not really phasing Cadillac out or not using him like we should, but I was impressed. I'm not really a believer, but, I mean, he did run the ball very effectively in the second half. You guys could not get the going in the first half. So I just wanted to not ask you a question, but hear your comments on LeGarrette Blount and kind of which direction you guys may be going in and getting him a little bit more acclimated to the run game, maybe a first and second down back, and kind of how Cadillac's working out right now. I'll hang up and listen. And another thing, appreciate y'all's win yesterday. Y'all helped me have probably one of the best Mondays at work that I've had in a long time. So I appreciate that.
You know, Ben. You know, LeGarrette. It's not. You know, everybody wants to take, you know, LeGarrette Blount playing as phasing out Cadillac. You know, I told my team, I get these guys both got game balls today, and I told Cadillac, I said, you know, and LeGarrette Blount both. I said, you know, Cadillac's not only a mentor and a great person for LeGarrette Blount to follow and try to be like and mimic, you know, but he's also part-time his coach. He helps them out around the building, and these guys help each other out. And it's no different what's going to happen on Sunday. If Cadillac can't get anything going on the run game when he's going out there, then LeGarrette's job is to go out there and try to pick us up. And yesterday in the first half, he had a couple runs that were really good and that got nullified because of holding or penalties or whatever the case may be. And then came out in the second half, some of those runs start to count, start to add into it. And then we're able to go back with Cadillac and have some balls thrown to him and complete. And he caught 8 balls, and he's able to move the balls in a big third down run there at the end on 3rd and 2 from Cadillac. And those two guys, if they're going to be the two guys that's going to be the main guys carrying the football for us, you know, got to have a belief in each other. They got to cheer for each other. They got to want each other to have success in order for us to have success as a team. And I'm really fired up to get these guys going. You know, with Blount only being here, you know, just getting here in the first week of the season, and really this being his 6th game as a Buccaneer and his 6 weeks with the 7 weeks because of the bye week with the Buccaneers, he's just one of those young developing projects that we got to keep going and keep going in the right way in order to catch him up as fast as we can to our system and to how we want to do things. And they're humble, man, and they're playing together. And I told our team, it started with Ernest Graham. You know, a couple years ago, Ernest Graham moved from tailback to fullback unselfishly with no regard for his own personal well-being, not even well-being,
stats.
Own personal stats or whatever the case may be, with a blink for the best movement for the team. And worked out great for him. Now, he's one of the all-time Buccaneers that's here forever and that's been here for a long time. And it's no different what's going on right now with LeGarrette Blount, Cadillac, and all the guys back there helping.
I asked you a couple, 3 weeks ago, how much of the playbook does he know? You said in that instance that he's got certain plays and a package that he knows. How is he doing right now on the playbook and what you've instilled?
You know, just you got to give the young man credit. He's getting better and better every week. You know, yesterday he made a big-time pickup block on a blitz, and he was off a play-action fake, and he picked up the corner on a corner cat. And he's getting better and better every week. You know, with guys like Cadillac, that's in the back with helping him in practice, in the back when he's out there performing, when they're doing it together. And he's been locked in. He's studying. He's staying with his coach. I can't say enough good things about what those guys have been able to help him with and what he's been able to do.
Back to the phones. Chris is in Largo with head coach Raheem Morris. Hello, Chris.
Hey, what's going on, coach?
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
4-2 sounds nice, huh?
It really does, man. It really does.
I took my kids to their first Bucs game yesterday, man, and you guys did them right.
Awesome. Now, how old are they, by the way?
My stepson is 13, and my stepdaughter, she's 10.
That's a pretty – okay, so they're old enough. That's a pretty memorable first game, I would think, with the way that it ended.
Definitely, man.
Yes.
My son, he played football for the first time this year. He's in football mode. He got to go to his first Bucs game, and, you know, he's sold for life. So you got that next generation of fan that –
I like it.
With the way that these guys are playing, growing with you guys now.
I like it.
What's on your mind, Chris?
You've come out, coach, and said, hey, we're the best team in the NFC, and I know that, you know, a coach can say that, but are these young guys starting to believe that, you know, they're not here rebuilding, that, you know, they're the next generation of great Bucs, and that, you know, they expect to be in the playoffs at the end of the year?
That's the only reason you say it, Chris. You know, you say that for these guys to have a belief. You know, you want your young football team to know that we're not here to go on other people's expectations. It's about our expectations for ourselves. And our expectations to go out and be the very best. I've said that numerous amounts of times. And now they put themselves in position to be in the talk about who's the best or yada yada or whatever the case may be. Somebody's got to be the best, Chris. Why not us? And why not why not your son go out and be the best one day? Why not?
Definitely. Definitely. Hey, Coach, I'll give it to you. Came in at a tough time with a lot of things, you know, great players being cut, Super Bowl coach leaving. You stay positive. You've held on to what you believe is to be true, and it's starting to pay off. I wish you luck. It was great to be able to get back to a game yesterday as the economy has hurt me and my family, too. But, you know, we love you guys, and it's great to see that your hard work's paying off, all right?
Chris, man, we really appreciate you, too, man. Thank you.
Well done there on that. This is the third time that you have held an opponent without a point in the second half and come back to win the game. You've had a knack now for doing this three times.
You know, the guys, you know, we got such a young football team. You know, maybe it's nervous jitters in the first half or whatever the case may be. But, you know, we've really been focused and we've really been going back and we go back in the halftime and come back out really not much of a difference. You know, we come back out with a plan and we just go out and execute it a little bit better. And my guys, man, the resilient stuff that we talked about, the second half, remaining unfazed, all those things, you know, they just get used to and start to play that way. They're playing playoff brand football right now, you know, and not that they're in the playoffs. And I don't want people to take this statement the wrong way, but you can't play in the playoffs unless you prepare to play in the playoffs. And they're preparing themselves to play in those type of games. And they got to go out and try to be the very best self every day.
Well, certainly in the fourth quarter with games on the line, I mean, that's what playoff games most of the time come down to. And neither one of us are saying this is playoff type stuff right now. It's the regular season. But these are positive signs when you keep seeing a fourth quarter with the game on the line and you win the game.
There's no doubt about it. You know, it just we're not there yet. And we're getting there. We're getting better. You know, we remain humble that way. You know, but we gotta believe in ourselves, you know, more than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me, that's what it's about.
Back to the phones. Here is Cleon in Orlando listening in on the Buccaneers radio network. Good evening, Cleon.
Hey, good evening. How you guys doing?
We're good. Go ahead.
All right. Coach, I don't know if you guys keep track of it, but, like, I live in Orlando. I live, you know, I work Sunday, so I'm not really able to get out there, but I managed to, you know, somehow see all the games. Question, Mike Williams, it seems like even from the preseason on, every time we've scored, whether it's a field goal, touchdown, it seems like he either scored them or he's made the play that put us in position, like the immediate play right before the score. Do you guys keep track of that? Like, it just seems like it's...
You know, there's no
like
doubt.
Like 75% or something.
I don't know what the percentage is, Cleon, but I certainly know he's one of our playmakers. And if you ask number five and he's looking for a play and he's trying to make one, I know that's going to be one of the guys he looks at first. And, you know, with him and Kellen and those two guys probably leading the pack in that. But you're very right. You're correct. He's exciting. He's young. You want to do more things with him, but you don't want to give him too much that he can't handle. But right now he's done a great job of handling everything we've given him. He's done a great job of excelling in those roles. And, you know, it's putting him right now. He's somewhere ranked in the receiver league around 20th or 29th or whatever the case may be. And, you know, slowly getting better and better every week. And, you know, he's the part of that ascending young class that I keep talking about. And I know he's making me excited.
Well, and one thing, now that we're in six games in, teams have started to key on him. They know who he is. They've started to roll a safety over, like you talk about, and try to double team him. And he still gets open right now, as we're still in the beginning of the season. But he still gets open and still makes plays. And there's something to be said for that. I mean, he had another day yesterday where he came up with some catches in key situations, and including there at the very end of the game with, you know, two or three guys yesterday hanging off of him, and he's making a play.
I know they were following him around a little bit there with Fletcher yesterday, and I watched Mike Williams go out there and have some fun with him. Every time he broke the huddle, he stopped and kind of waited for him and kind of waved him on. And he's young and he's having fun and he's playing hard. And you love that type of stuff if you're a Buccaneer fan or you're a Buccaneer coach.
Time for a few more phone calls real quick. Ali is in Los Angeles. He's becoming a regular with you.
Ali.
Welcome. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Ali. You're on. Go ahead.
Hello.
Ali, yeah. It's the West Coast Finesse.
Oh, okay. Hey, how you doing today, man? I just say congratulations, man. That was a great game. I was able to get some sleep this weekend. And I wanted to say, I like the way Savvy is pumping, too. I see you pushing him in the game a little bit more. Can you elaborate on that? Is he right time now, or are you just looking a lot better?
Well, he's coming to practice every day. He's working hard. He's being detailed. He's doing all the things that we asked him to do, and Savvy's a great kid, man. I mean, I've been around Savvy for a long time, and And anytime you get out there and get some fresh legs, some new energy, some life, he provides that a little bit for us. And he goes out there and he plays hard, and he's becoming a dynamic. And, you know, it helps him in his special teams game. It helps him in his defensive game. It helps us go out there with fresh bodies and those guys in that little rotation and being able to go out there and play with each other. It only helps your team and creates great depth.
All right, Ali, thank you. And he's all the way out on the West Coast following the Buccaneers. He wanted to let you know that he got some sleep this weekend.
Yeah.
People just want to check in with you. Johnny is in Tampa. We got a John and a Johnny holding on. This is Johnny in Tampa. Hello, Johnny, on with the head coach, Raheem Morris.
Hey, guys. How you doing, Coach?
Doing well, man. How you doing?
Oh, pretty good. I wanted to ask you about Brian Price, if you can elaborate on the injury and exactly what it is. And as far as Gerald McClure goes, I don't see the push. You know, I know it's a little early and all. You can't expect it overnight, but I figured when them two guys got in there, they would shut this run game down, and I just not seeing the push. I know Gerald's trying and all, but is it just a little early to expect too much out of them right now?
No,
I'll hang up and listen.
Okay,
keep the job, keep a good job up, buddy.
No question, man. Brian Price, has a pelvic injury, and it is what it is. He was week to week. So hopefully we can get him back here at some point and get him back going with our football team. We'll just have to wait for our doctors to comment on that. And, you know, Gerald McCoy really had a lights-out game yesterday for us as far as stopping the run and stopping and knocking everything back. He made a bunch of plays. Now, he can't make every tackle, but the ones he were involved in yesterday and the ones that was around him yesterday, he certainly caused a bunch of disruption. And I was very pleased. Probably his best game as a Buccaneer. Yesterday. So.
You said last week on the show that you didn't want yield signs. In other words, don't just stay locked up on your guy. Did he do a better job of coming off of his guy in this game this week on some occasions as opposed to just hanging in there in his gap?
No, he ended up about four tackles today, and a lot of those tackles didn't go through his gap. He actually shed his blocker, came into another gap, and either capped off or helped somebody else. And, you know, he was exciting yesterday. You know, he moved around great yesterday. He had a lot of bounce in his step, and he created a lot of push and vertical presence. A la Warren Sapp-ish, and nobody's that guy yet, and hopefully he can continue to grow in that path that he went the other day, and we look forward to seeing him getting better and better every week.
Time for one more. John is in Tampa. Right after Johnny in Tampa, here is John in Tampa on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Hello.
How you doing, Coach Rock?
Hey, how you doing, John? What's going on?
All right, man. I just wanted to tell you, if I had your vocabulary, I'd be the biggest Mac in Tampa right now.
What you mean by that, John?
Hey, you got a mean vocabulary. I like how the words fly to my.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
I like that. And I like how you said we was the best in the NFC because I ain't never heard ESPN and NFL Network speak so much about the Bucs. And what was the confusion about with Gerald McCoy and the coaches? I hang up on this.
Okay.
You know, John, it was less about confusion. It was more about him. Knowing what we wanted him to do, and it's about him causing disruption. You know, a lot of times you get young players and they're afraid to make mistakes and they want to be in the right gap and they want to make sure they're doing the right thing. But a lot of times, you get some of these players and they get put in dynamic positions and they don't realize, some of this stuff now is a little bit of you and what you can do and your abilities. You know, some of these calls that we have for our D-line right now, Warren Sapp created. You know, we got calls right now with the three techniques able to go over the top and make plays in other gaps and we called it a Sapp call. And we didn't call it a Sapp call back then. Sapp just did it. You know, we got plays right now. We call it a tag when the three technique was able to two gap the guard and ricochet inside and make a tackle in the A gap. You know, that wasn't called a tag when Sapp was doing it. It was called Sapp playing football. You know, so now we have all these calls that we created for ourselves as coaches because we want to make better players. We want to get people to be better. You know, but sometimes when you're a dynamic player, like a guy like Gerald McCoy can be because of his explosiveness and his power and some of his strength and his size, you got to go out there and be a football player. And a lot of these guys are starting to get that. A lot of these guys are starting to understand. And it comes from a bunch of different positions. You know, we got some things now that Brooks created, that Dexter Jackson created, that we call these techniques. Man, some of that stuff was just players being players.
Well, you like that. All right, we've got one thing left to do, and that is talk about the Arizona Cardinals. We'll do that when we get back on this Monday night here on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Stay with us.
The Raheem Morris Show on your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE and US 103.5. Once again, Buccaneers head coach Raheem Morris and your host, TJ Reeves.
Remaining moments here on this Monday night when we are done. Dave Moore, number 83, will be stepping in for Buccaneers Total Access. Jeremy Zuta with him tonight. Stand by for that. Here coming up in just a few minutes. Let us talk about the Arizona Cardinals. They'll be the opponent 4 o'clock Eastern time at their place, University of Phoenix Stadium there in Glendale. First trip into that facility for this team. And what do you see from the Arizona Cardinals?
Well, you know, you talk about Arizona Cardinals, and I was talking from a defensive perspective first, but you got to talk about Larry Fitzgerald, you know, arguably one of the best, you know, wideouts in our profession and what he's able to do. They got a young team. They're doing some really good things. They got a really, you know, good head coach. They're 2 years removed from being the Super Bowl contenders. And coming down here in Tampa and playing, I had a chance to meet Coach Wisenhunt a couple times at a couple different occasions, and he's been, you know, he's always been a courteous, kind guy that's a hard nose and tough. And when you talk about the defense side of the ball for our offensive challenges, you got to talk about, you know, Darnell Dockett and Adrian Wilson's arguably, you know, two of my favorite players, you know, in football and how they play and what they bring to the game. And they got another young, dynamic corner in Rogers Cromartie, came out a couple years ago that's really played the game well and you know, and all they've done, and, you know, Kerry Rhodes over there coming from the Jets, to give them another dynamic playmaker. Reggie Walker, one of the backup linebackers who I coached at K-State, is there as well. And then we've got to go see Cody's dad. And, you know,
yeah, Coach Grimm. Russ Grimm is the offensive line coach.
You know, recently, you know, inducted to the Hall of Fame, and really fired up for that, you know, family experience for those guys and some of those things, you know. And, you know, like Cody says, man, bragging rights for their family times.
This will be one of the weeks probably when they don't talk. And maybe one of the first times where they're not going to be talking very much, at least about football, because it's, you know, son against dad.
I don't know. It'd be hard for Cody not to talk, man. Cody's got a great personality. And you know, he's raised the right way. His family's a football guy. He's always been around football. I don't expect those guys not to talk. I think they probably will.
we've got about a minute left here. You're going now on the road for back-to-back games. Again, you know, time for a road test. You've passed a couple of road tests, though, already this year, but now you go out on the road for this one.
Yeah, we got a West Coast trip, man. It's just, you know, you got to get up and you got to go over there. We're going a little bit early. We'll leave here on a Friday and, you know, get out that way and try to get acclimated with the time change. And, you know, my team loves to do those things, and it's a big challenge for us. You know, we got a, you know, a bunch of new guys up in front. You know, we got Jeremy Zuta up there leading the crew, and, you know, with the protection calls, playing center, and he's playing next to Larson, who was playing next to him as a, you know, a rookie, and, you know, he's out there with, you know, James Lee, finished that game with him, and over on the side, you had Donald Penn, and you had Davin Joseph, and those guys are going out playing up front, and they can't wait to go out there and to reestablish what they started the other day with the running game, and then hopefully we can get some of that stuff going on offense earlier. This time rather than later, and try to get us another win.
An opportunity to be 5-2, currently 4-2, and right in the thick of things, not only in the NFC South, but in the playoff picture at the moment. Listen, congratulations, and get ready to go get the Cardinals. We'll talk to you in the pregame show on Sunday. Coach, thanks for sitting with us again, as always, on a Monday night.
Man, it's always my pleasure.
That is head coach Raheem Morris, and again, we'll do this next Monday night at 5 o'clock. My thanks again to Jeff Ryan and to Jerry Petock for helping out with the program this evening. Again, Bucks and Cardinals from Arizona. That's a 4 o'clock kick time. We're on the air at 3 on the Buccaneers Radio Network on Sunday from Arizona. Thanks for being with us on this Monday night. Good night.
You've been listening to the Raheem Morris Show on 620 WDAE and US 103.5, the home of Buccaneers football.